Sometimes people get confused, don't they? How many of you saw the signs this morning for parking? Did you see the signs? Good. Some of you still parked in the wrong place, and that's okay. How many of you saw the signs when you entered that to worship you go this direction? Did you see that? Some of you still got confused and went this way. How many of you saw the signs for where breakfast is going to be served? Did you see those? Good. Some of you were wondering why it wasn't out there yet. It doesn't happen until after the service. Now, after the service, some of you are going to be confused again. So I want to help you out. The path to breakfast goes through there. The road to hell goes that way. I am here to help, just so you know. There was a lady who was a little confused on an Easter like this one, and it was a little more important because she had a very special role in the service. She was the organist, very important in the church service, a very talented musician. Her name was Carol. And well, it was on one of those Easters, which happens, I don't know, maybe once every 7 or 8 years, where the time changes. And she got confused. Is it spring forward or fall back? And she didn't set her clock correctly. And she overslept. And she missed the first service. Of course, the church forgave her. The minister was kind. Oh, he teased her a little bit, but you know, it was all done in good fun and very lovingly. But the next Easter, Carol got a call at 5 o'clock in the morning. She woke up, the phone was ringing, and it was the pastor. And he said, "Carol, the Lord has risen, and I suggest you do the same." You know, the disciples on the very first Easter, they were confused. And well, they should be. Even though the Lord had prepped them, he had told them, he said, "I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and then on the third day I will rise from the grave." And yet that first Easter morning, Scripture tells us the women came down to the grave to anoint the body. That was the custom. If Jesus had risen, if they had truly understood, if they weren't confused, if they had believed, there would be no need for the spices, for the anointing, for the wrapping of the body. Now, all the gospel writers give a little bit different account. John tells us that later, when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, that she was so confused she thought he was the gardener. Luke tells us that when the disciples heard the news, they thought it was pure nonsense, an idle tale. And even Simon Peter, the one that was the most trusted of all the disciples, the most outspoken, he didn't believe it at all, at least at first. And yet, in short order, they all came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ had indeed risen. And yet, it was too good to be true. I would suggest today that some of you feel exactly the same way. We want to believe. It is such great news. The Lord has risen from the grave. And yet I ask you, how many of you have seen a dead person walking around? Anybody? It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to wrap our mind around such an incredible thought. And so some of us are a bit skeptical. Some of us are a little confused. And so the obvious question comes to mind. Does it really matter? Does it really matter if Jesus Christ has risen from the grave? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever lost a loved one to death? Anybody? Then it matters. It mattered to Mary. We don't know a lot about Mary. Magdalene, what is that? It's just the town she was from, Magdala. Little town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. The Bible says that she had seven demons. Her life was a living hell before she met Jesus. Literally, she had the devil living inside of her. Not something that anybody would ever choose, to be sure, but it didn't matter because she was treated like she was living in hell. You see, in those days, if you had trouble of any kind, everyone believed it's because you deserved it. Mary hadn't chosen to have demons living inside of her, and yet her life was a living hell. People laughed at her. The children threw rocks at her. Everyone left her alone except when they were making fun of her. And now Jesus comes along. And his little band of men, his little group, and they accepted her. They loved her. Jesus cast out the demons. And for 3 years, she was valued. She was loved. She felt truly like she was a child of God. And now the one person who had loved her, who had valued her, he was gone. He was dead. And it matters. I'm sure that's why on that Easter morning, she was one of the very first to go down to the tomb. It was one of the last things that she could do for someone she loved. Usually the anointing was left for family, but for Mary, this was her family. It's all she had. So she wanted one last act of kindness for the one who had loved her so much. And so she comes to the tomb, and now to add insult to injury, to add even more pain to what she already felt. The body's gone. She can't see him one last time. She can't hold on to him. That's what death does. It leaves us as empty as the tomb was on that first Easter morning, until Jesus steps in the gap. And that's what Easter morning is all about. The Lord steps in the gap. He heals the pain. He gives us hope where there was none. It does matter that Jesus Christ is risen from the grave if you have ever lost a loved one. And it also matters if you value the gift of life. Now, a lot of you know my story. I had a struggle with cancer that I had survived. I also struggled with the loss of a life to be, the potential of children for 7 years before Sharon and I were able to conceive, and even then, after we adopted, the loss of the potential of a life to autism. And so I can tell you, I value the gift of life. I hold it precious. And not only that, as a pastor, I've watched you and family and friends bury their loved ones almost 250 times. Life is precious. It is a tremendous gift. Some of you know that I do lists. A list every day to do, a list of goals in my office written on the wall, things that I want to accomplish, and a bucket list like a lot of you have as well. Came into vogue, I guess, maybe 10 years ago with a movie, Jack Nicholson, Morgan Freeman. Jack Nicholson was interviewed for that movie. I want to read to you a quote. He said, we all want to go on forever, don't we? We fear the unknown. Everybody goes to that wall, yet nobody knows what's on the other side. And that's why we fear death. Well, I have to differ a little bit with that, Mr. Nicholson. As a follower of Christ, I know what's on the other side of that wall, because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. On the other side of that wall is heaven, an even greater life than this one, where at least in my imagination, the bucket list is endless and yet gets fulfilled. As Christians, we don't so much fear death as we want to continue to hold on to life. Because that's how our God has created us, to know that life is a gift, that it is precious, and there is so much to be accomplished, that we want to go on and live forever. Now, I know that there are problems and difficulties and challenges in this life. I hate to break it to you, but the Cubs will not win the World Series every year. And you're not going to win the lottery every day. And every now and then, it does rain on your parade, doesn't it? We live still in a world that is full of sin. It's not perfect, and yet it is such a wonderful life, a precious life. This green earth that our God has given to us, filled with so many wonderful people and exhilarating experiences. That's the life that we look forward to, and yet we know that eventually it is going to end. So I ask you again, does it matter that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave? Absolutely it matters if you have ever lost a loved one to death, and it absolutely matters if you value the gift of life. Here's the thing. If Christ lives, then life has meaning. And there is hope, even in the most difficult circumstances. Christ has risen from the grave, and that has meaning for us, not just for the life on the other side of the grave, but for the life right here and now. And so, if I'm at the very end of my rope, I know there's a knot that I can hang on to. If Christ defeated death, then my life will go on forever. If the gospel is true and there's a God who loves me, then I have value, just like Mary. And Mary and us can come to the tomb this morning, and we can see the stone that is rolled away. And we can know that our God cannot be kept in a box. He has power for this life and power for the next. And so, like Paul, I can say to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I can say when I'm sick, I will be healed in this life or in the next. And when I'm struggling, I can trust that the God who's overcome the greatest obstacle of all time, which is death, will be with me. And when I have a bad day, I know that there's an eternity of good days that are to come. And when my dreams are shattered, I know there's an even greater reality in my future. Does it matter? Absolutely, it matters. Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, and so there will be life on the other side of the tomb, and there is life that is meaning and value each day that I am here on God's green earth. Because He lives, there is nothing to fear. Because He lives, I no longer have to be confused about what this life holds for me and for all of those that I love. Because Christ lives, I can face tomorrow. As the angel said, Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.